93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Pompey are the Chequered Trade Trophy champions.
Ollie Hawkins is the man with the penalty and the chance to win it. He steps up, back, he'll hit it right-footed, and he'll score! And Portsmouth have won the EFL trophy! They win it 5-4 on penalties!
It's no April Fool's joke. The Blues actually won at Wembley yesterday afternoon, although it didn't come easy. Kenny Jackett's side ran out winners in the most dramatic of fashions via a penalty shootout. Ollie Hawkins sent over 41,000 Pompey fans into pandemonium as the South Coast Loyal took over the National Stadium. Tonight, we are eager to hear your thoughts on the game, as well as your memories and experiences throughout the entire day. I imagine there are plenty of feel-good stories out there, and also a lot of sore heads this morning. We've beaten them twice already this season, but can the Blues make it a hat-trick and leapfrog Sunderland in the League One table come May the 4th? We also want to know who your man of the match was, as well as the first names you want to see on Saturday's team sheet at Wickham on Saturday. 81400 is the number to text. Start your message with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at ExpressFM. It may be Monday, but I can imagine it's a pretty good one for you, the Fratton faithful. It's set to be a good 60 minutes or so here to this evening, so stay tuned. You won't want to miss it. A very good evening and welcome to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome again to Express FM for the Monday Football Hour. As usual, sponsored by Stagecoach Buses, who offer adult day rider tickets at the discounted price of £4.10 if you buy via the Stagecoach Bus app, which you can do on either the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store on Android. Now, in case you missed it, or if you've been living under a rock or something, Pompey are now the champions of the Chequered Trade Trophy. Yesterday afternoon, they lifted the controversial trophy in front of over 41,000 Blues fans at Wembley Stadium, seeing off strong opposition and League One promotion rival Sunderland in the process. It was a brilliant day out, and before we actually go on to listen at how it all happened, I'd like to say my own personal thanks to everyone here at Express FM for the fantastic experience they provided, not only myself, but Liam Howes and the legend Alan Knight with throughout yesterday. Me and Liam are new to the Pompey Live team this season. I don't think we would have imagined in our wildest dreams that we would be broadcasting the show live from Wembley so soon in our adventure at the station. Without the brilliant people here at Express, yesterday would not have been possible. Miles Henson, Mason Jordan, Tom Atkins, the heroes of the day, helping us to get behind the scenes access at home of football, as well as a live show from Wembley Way and post-match reaction live from the celebrations on the Wembley pitch after the game. It truly was a day that will live long in the memory, not just as a Pompey fan, but as an aspiring radio journalist too. Now, enough of the soppy stuff now then. Let's go back to the magic. In fact, all the way from the beginning, 2:30, live from Wembley Stadium, Andy Moon, Guy Whittingham and Danny Rose on the commentary as Pompey took on Sunderland in the Chequered Trade Trophy final. Strap yourselves in, because it was certainly a roller coaster of a match.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey
what
Live.
A sight. What an amazing view we have here at Wembley Stadium. It is split perfectly half and half between blue and white and red and white. And there's a wonderful anticipation with the players just about to make their way out onto the playing surface. And it's going to be Brett Pittman making his first appearance at Wembley who is going to get us underway. We just wait for the referee to get the nod. The whistle's blown. We are underway in the Chequered Trade Trophy final. Scottish-born Republic of Ireland international Aidan McGeady is standing over it here at Wembley. Three-step runner over the wall, deflected and into the back of the net. And Aidan McGeady has given Sunderland the lead. A near-perfect free kick. McGilvery couldn't get across over the wall. And with 7 minutes to go into the interval, it's Portsmouth 0, Sunderland 1. It's been coming. Clark driving to the area. Clark laying it off. Chipped in by Evans for the far post. Thompson arriving. He gets to the back of the net. Nathan Thompson. What a time for your first Portsmouth goal. He celebrates in front of the Pompey fans. And with 8 minutes left, Portsmouth have levelled the match. Portsmouth 1, Sunderland 1. Portsmouth knocking on the door. 6.5 minutes left of extra time, 1-1 still the score. Long ball for Jamal Lowe to chase. Lowe brings it down. Lowe could be in. Jamal Lowe over the goalkeeper. Into the back of the net. Jamal Lowe rips his shirt off in celebration. 40,000 Pompey fans go wild. It looks like Jamal Lowe has won the Chequered Grey Trophy for Portsmouth. It's Pompey 2, Sunderland 1. Can he get the shot away? McGeady, a great chance. Clark, he can't keep it out. It's into the net. And Sunderland have equalised in the 119th minute. Aidan McGeady, Matt Clark on the line, thought he'd done enough, but he hadn't. And Portsmouth celebrations are cut short. And it looks like we will head towards penalties here at Wembley. And the final whistle is blown by Dean Whitestone, the referee. It's been a pulsating 2 hours of action. We are going to go to penalty kicks to decide the winner of the Chequered Trade Trophy final. Here we go. Penalty shootouts. The whistle blows. Aidan McGeady is first up against Craig McGilvery, and he rolls it into the bottom corner and scores. Gareth Evans to take right-footed for Portsmouth. Steps up and scores just through the goalkeeper. One penalty each, one all. And it is Lee Catamol, Sunderland stalwart, who right-footed is saved! McGilvery saves to his left! First blood to Portsmouth in the penalty shootout. Lee Catamol's effort is saved. Brett Pittman to take Portsmouth's second right-footed scores. Good penalty, comfortably into the corner. Looks like Lyndon Gooch is going to step up and take the third penalty for Sunderland. Against McGilvery, scores, great penalty, into the roof of the net. No one is going to save that. What a strike from Gooch. Lee Brown takes. He is going to put his foot through it, Lee Brown. 2-2, Brown scores! Drills it down the middle. Three penalties each, 3-2 to Pompey. Here we go then, Sunderland's fourth penalty. It's going to be struck. It'll be a right-footed effort. Here we go for Sunderland, into the back of the net. They have their third goal, but they've had four attempts. Here's Jamal Lowe. He'll have to put the ball in his spot. McGilvery will have to come out the area in front of the Pompey fans, who go silent and still and motionless as Jamal Lowe comes forward. Jamal Lowe will strike it with his right foot. McLaughlin all on the line. Lowe scores away to McLaughlin's right. So we're into sudden death for Sunderland. They must score and Portsmouth must miss, or Portsmouth have won the EFL trophy. McGilvery on his line, dancing around. Eyes on Michael Gray on the screen again. Here we go. Steps up. Stutters scores into the back of the net. And Sunderland have at least forced Portsmouth to take their fifth. Portsmouth score this. They win the EFL trophy. Ollie Hawkins is the man with the penalty and the chance to win it. He steps up, back, he'll hit it right-footed, and he'll score! And Portsmouth have won the EFL trophy! They win it 5-4 on penalties! Ollie Hawkins is the hero! Pandemonium in the Pompey end to our right! The players will run out and leap and celebrate in front of them! As you imagine, a wonderful moment for the 41,000 here! Portsmouth have won 5-4 on penalties!
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM, Pompey Live.
Those there were the extended highlights of Pompey's 2-2 draw and the resulting penalty shootout, of course, which ended with the Blues being crowned champions of the Chequered Trade Trophy. Now, after the game, Andy Moon caught up with gaffer Kenny Jackett live from the Wembley pitch.
You've led Portsmouth to win a trophy here at Wembley. Just sum up how that feels.
First off, I thought it was a great advert for League One football. Obviously, it's quite unique with the fantastic support that both clubs have got and the atmosphere generated today. But on the game, I thought that although it looked, you know, a little bit of a soft free kick on the edge of the box and then a deflection, I did think that Sunderland were the better side in the first half and deserved their lead. But from 45 minutes on, I thought it was us. And through the second half and then obviously through extra time, we did very well and were the better side and found a way to win in the penalty shootouts with five excellent pens and a great save from Craig.
What was your mindset going into penalties? Because you were so close to winning it in extra time.
Yeah, and sometimes those things can work against you. But, you know, we talked, we practised. You know, the big thing is it's an old adage, but it's true. Don't change your mind. Make your mind up. Go for it. We've got, you know, we know the players that are comfortable in taking penalties. And also then as it gets sort of further down the order, it's about the players that, you know, feel physically strong enough. And also, you know, are mentally positive towards taking the pen. And they all were. You know, it's five excellent pens. And as I say, you know, a terrific save from Craig to, in the end, prove the deciding one.
Was it an obvious five? Did anyone put their hand up? Anyone waver whether they wanted?
Well, obviously, if you're looking at us, Brett's taken the most pens since I've been here. Gareth Evans as well, you know, senior. Jamal was very confident. So there was our first three. And Lee Brown always has, you know, put himself up as taking penalties. Although, you know, if with the forwards that we have on the pitch, he's not had a chance yet to take them, but he's been very, very confident. And then after that, I do feel that, you know, Ollie Hawkins has scored, and it's about the forwards. You know, I do think people that are used to putting the ball into the net, it does help them. And Ollie took a great fifth penalty, and really pleased for him to get the decider.
How long can you enjoy this moment?
Yeah, we're pleased. We'll enjoy it. We want to see it as a springboard towards us finishing off the season strongly. We've been very consistent. When you're looking at a 60 game season plus any playoff games, it's a long season. But we have our season ahead of us, and that's the important thing.
How do you make this a springboard? Just finally.
Well, we have to work out a way of winning big games. You know, sometimes as a big club, you have to find that. And I'm pleased to say today we did. We don't want to be complacent because, you know, earning promotion and the club moving forward is no easy matter. You know, you have to be consistent. You have to make good decisions. And also, you have to persevere through ups and downs. But, you know, if we want to be the club we want to aspire to, and that's, you know, in the upper echelons and a successful one, we have to work out a way of winning the big games.
Kenny Jackett there speaking to Andy Moon after the win yesterday afternoon. Now, let's introduce my two guests tonight then. First of all, as you can hear, Ryan coughing. Ryan Stillwell, a very good evening to you. I believe you're suffering actually a little bit. Why would that be?
Good evening, Jake. Thanks for having me on again. Suffering because that, well, quite simply wasn't your average away day. No. Everything goes out the window. It's just a dawn till dusk party. And in the end, we got what we wanted. We just added to it.
Something very, very special. And with Ryan this evening, from the Armed Forces Supporters Club, sorry, Jeff Harris, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jake, you all right? I'm definitely suffering today.
Actually, we can hear, actually, you've got quite a croaky voice. A lot of singing last night?
A lot of singing, a lot of shouting, a lot of celebrating, yeah.
That's what it's like. And Jeff, if you can, try and summarise your thoughts as a whole, not just on the game, but the day, you know, in general yesterday.
I think it was summed up by that one tweet. I saw a picture, you know, the Trafalgar Square trophy, and I saw it. My phone has not stopped all day because I've reposted it. And like they say, you know, games are won on the pitch. They're not won in the centre of London. They're not won in the streets. They're won on the pitch, and it's down to 11v11 at the end of the day.
And Ryan, it's not the FA Cup, it's not the League Cup, it's not the League One title, the Checkatrade Trophy. Nonetheless, it was a special, special day out yesterday. 41,000 Pompey fans crowded into Wembley, and they were magnificent all throughout, well, not just the game, but throughout the day in general as well. How special was it to be in and amongst all that?
There is nothing quite like it. As much as you can vibe to Mike Oldfield pre-match at Fratton Park, as much as you can have a laugh with 2,000 Pompey fans on a Friday night December when you're away at Yeovil and it's foggy, or as much as when there's 400 of you at Fleetwood on a Tuesday night, when you hear Play Up Pompey echoing across the vast openness of Wembley and just see all that blue united together, there is nothing like it.
No. it was something pretty special, and, you know, gutted not to have been in amongst that. But like you say, it was also a fantastic day from where we were sat as well. You all looked brilliant, and Dunbar City very proud throughout the entire 90 minutes and extra time and penalties, of course. Those then were the quick thoughts of the guys in the studio with me this evening, but we're also eager to hear from you back home as well. Let us know your overall reactions and favourite parts of the day at Wembley yesterday. Who are your standout performers from the Checkatrade Trophy final win against Sunderland, and who is your first name on the Wickham team sheet this Saturday? Don't say goalkeeper again. As Pompey return to Skybet League One action, why not give us an early score prediction for that game as well? We also want to know if you think the Blues can make it a hat-trick of victories over Sunderland. Can Kenny Jackett use this momentum to mastermind a comeback into the top two, and as a result finish above the Black Cats and return to the Championship with automatic promotion? You can begin by texting Express to 81400, followed by your name and your message. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or tweet us at expressfm. If you're on Twitter, we'll get to get some of those in just a few moments, those text tweets and emails here on the Monday Football Hour as it continues right here next on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very warm welcome back to the Monday Football Hour, sponsored by Stagecoach Buses for the 2018-19 season. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap and reliable fares across the great waterfront city of Portsmouth and across the south coast as well. Tonight, I'm delighted to be joined by Ryan Stilwell and Jeff Harris until around 7pm for all the reaction from yesterday's Checkatrade Trophy win against Sunderland. And before we break, I asked you back home a few questions as well. Who are your standout performers from yesterday's victory at Wembley, and who do you think has earned themselves a starting position against Wickham this Saturday? We'd also like an early score prediction for that game as well. And we also want to know if you think the Blues can make it a hat-trick of successes over the Black Cats. Can Kenny Jackett use this run of good form as momentum to mastermind a comeback into the top two and finish above Sunderland in the automatic promotion places? Don't be afraid to share with us your feel-good stories from that awesome day out yesterday as well. We have had a text in already from Steve in Fratton. He says, "Hiya guys, I think it's fair to say Sunderland probably dominated the first half and deserved to go in ahead at half time, but despite the setback we came back out fighting, and right from the start of the second half it was all us. Jamal Lowe's lobbed goal in extra time was awesome, and it was so unfortunate to concede near the end, but all five of our penalties were superb, and what a great penalty save from McGilvery. I thought overall it was a fantastic team performance. Every player was outstanding and the fans were amazing as well. Everybody did us proud." And a capital letters, "Play up Pompey." Steve in Fratton, thanks for that text. Steve in Fratton, we love to hear texts like that. Jeff, you were at Wembley yesterday. If you can, again, I know you've got a sore throat. Talk me through just what went through your mind when Jamal Lowe, he appeared to win it for Pompey on the 114th minute.
It was one of those breathtaking moments, wasn't it? You know when Lowe is in one of those 1v1 situations that he's going to take his player on and he's going to beat him. But the way he just, you know, he stopped and everyone moved around him. It was like time stopped for him and he just nonchalantly just chipped it. He got his pitching wedge out and he just lofted that into the back of the net. But to be in that pressure situation, I think quite a lot of players would just hit it as hard as they could and just hope for the best. He actually meant that. He stopped and went, "I'm going to chip." He's off his line. "I'm going for it."
Well, do you know what? Jamal Lowe, that's another important goal for Pompey. He's only been here, 2 years now. And it's a great story, you know, from non-league, playing for Barnet as well, with a Wembley arch in the background, to securing promotion for Pompey back in League 2. And I noticed as well, both of those important goals, the third one against Notts County and the one that did put us 2-1 up against Sunderland yesterday, both chipped goals. I don't think we see him score chipped goals on a regular occasion. It's just on the big stage where he does it. And Ryan, you were there too, and we'll analyse the goals in full in just a moment, but the 41,000 Blues fans, as I mentioned, looked and sounded brilliant all day yesterday. And I imagine there were bodies flying absolutely everywhere when Craig McGilvery saved Lee Cattermole's penalty in the shootout.
I developed a kind of sort of superstition for the penalties. When Sunderland took their penalties, I had my hands on my hips. Pompey, I have my arms folded. And I don't know why, it's just thought this seems to be working. But when Craig saved it, there was quite a lot of pushing and shoving. And especially for Lowe's goal, like you said, Jeff, time seemed to slow down as you waited to see if that ball would dip. And it's just those little moments, the Craig save, the winning penalty, the low goal, everything, it just almost went silent for a moment and then chaos and rot. Yeah. And that's why everything aches today. About 38% of me made it to the studio today. The rest of it's still in Wembley in bits, but...
An email from Graham Wilkins. He says, "Hi all, what a great day at Wembley yesterday. The first half is a distant memory where nothing happened for the Blues, but the transformation in the second half was unbelievable. Suddenly there was a fire in their bellies and it was a blue wave crashing down onto the Sunderland players. What a great move from Jacket to sub Curtis and Bogoloff with the ever reliable Evans and Hawkins, and five great penalties in one McGilvery save later, and Pompey are winners. My man of the match was Christian Burgess, but Jamal Lowe was a close second for me, along with Clark, who was immense once again. But all in all, a brilliant day, and the momentum of winning games is infectious. Roll on next Saturday, play up Pompey." Okay, let's go to those goals and let's analyse them in depth then. First of all, it was, who was it? Sunderland went 1-0 up with a free kick. Here's how that happened.
Aidan McGeady is standing over it here at Wembley. Three-step run-up over the wall, deflected and into the back of the net. And Aidan McGeady has given Sunderland the lead.
Aidan McGeady, of course it was. I've got Lee Catamol still in my mind, still thinking of that penalty miss. But, Jeff, that goal...
Nice dig.
Sorry?
Nice dig.
We love a dig. Jeff, that goal, that free kick, Nathan Thompson, he gave it away. I don't think there was any doubt about it being a free kick. But at the same time, in that position, Sunderland, you know, they would have been one-on-one with the keeper at that point. It had Thompson not put in that challenge. It was a bit risky, but it's one of those, you've got to commit yourself to it. Unfortunately, it's a free kick. You can't really complain about that too much, can you?
No, we were talking off air then, you know, Ryan and I were saying exactly the same thing. As soon as you saw that free kick at position, Plymouth away came back to both of our minds. You know, the ball was there to do its job. It took a deflection. I think if it didn't take the deflection, Craig had it covered, and I think he would have put it around the post. It's one of those things. You know the quality of McGeady's got, dead ball situations. And from there, you always think he's going to hit the target. So it's a 50-50, and unfortunately he took a deflection.
Yeah. Jeff mentions there the deflection, Ryan, and do you think Craig had it covered if it hadn't taken the deflection? It was unfortunate, of course.
You can see that when you sort of freeze frame it or play it on heart or quarter speed on some sites that, yeah, his hand isn't really that far away from the ball, and you do wonder whether that deflection has just taken it slightly higher in altitude to take away from him. So it's unfortunate. The free kick, the strike in itself, is good enough to force McGilvery to go flying over, so I think he probably would have got it. So it's unfortunate, but it was Plymouth. It's a free kick to give away in that position. I think Nathan has to go in for that challenge, but yeah, it's always a risk when you've got a player like McGeady stepping up for it.
Well, nonetheless, it didn't matter too much because on the 82nd minute, Nathan Thompson was at hand to equalise for Pompey.
Clark laying it off, chipped in by Evans to the far post. Thompson arriving, it's into the back of the net. Nathan Thompson, what a time for your first Portsmouth goal. He celebrates in front of the Pompey fans. And with 8 minutes left, Portsmouth have levelled the match. Portsmouth 1, Sunderland 1.
I think, Jeff, that's what they call limbs.
Definitely, you know, my stepson Reese, I think his voice started breaking then because he went from a normal yes to a high pitched yes to back to a normal yes. So I was kind of more in shock about that than I think about.
Is he Paul
scoring.
Cook?
Yeah, he pretty much sounded like Paul Cook. Yeah. No, he's brilliant. What a, you know, I said to the guys around me, we need to score around about the 65th minute mark, otherwise I can't see us going on. But after that, after I said that comment, it was just wave after wave. And we, you know, when Thompson put that in. But if you look back at the goal, it's the way he got around the defender. Mm. He was behind the defender, and then he managed somehow to get in front. And the defender was totally blindsided, didn't know he was there. You know, and everyone just lost it, didn't they? People going over. Someone at work told me today that he fell to Rose and Fun. And, you know, his 11-year-old is watching him laughing. So, Will Harvey, thanks for telling me that one.
Was it your stepson you mentioned there who had his voice break?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, you know, he's 12 years old and his voice is starting to break because he's shouting so loud at Wembley.
I can't believe you've embarrassed him like that. If you're listening, don't worry, I'm nearly 21 years old. Mine still hasn't broken. Mine's still going. We were saying actually earlier in the game, Ryan, and I think Nathan Thompson had a golden opportunity to score for Pompey earlier in the match. And Liam Howells on Pompey Live, he said, the one person you don't really want, and no disrespect to Nathan Thompson, but he's not a striker, he's a defender. But one person, if anyone, you don't want in that position was Nathan Thompson. But believe it or not, 8 minutes from time, 1-0 down, when everything seemed to be not going against Pompey, because it was an incredible second half from the Blues. I think we had 8 shots to Sunderland's 1 in that second half. And I think that's a complete flip from the first half stats. And we had obviously the majority of possession, but it was great for him, as you say, to leap up, beat his man, and stick it in that top corner. And I think he was at Wembley a few years ago, captaining Swindon, his boyhood club, and he came off injured, and they went on to lose 4-0. So I imagine for him personally, that was a great moment.
Oh, of course, yeah. And the chance I think you're referring to is when he was, I don't really think he was one-on-one with the keeper,
no.
But the keeper was rushing out, he's tried to dink it.
Yeah.
He's gone over the bar, and obviously there are certain plays on the pitch you'd rather it fall to, but and as to Jeff's point, he starts that run 4 yards behind the, I think it was it might have been Baldwin, and yeah, the way he just charges it, he needs to make that ball, he wants to make that ball first. It was almost Joel Ward-esque against De Prado at Fratton Park many years back, and you just see who wants to make that header more, and that he's just thundered it back post. And yeah, what a time to score your first goal. And obviously, as you said, Jake, he's experienced Wembley defeat before, and you could almost see him going, I'm not letting this happen again. And he was just stuck his head out, and yeah, it was fantastic feeling to see that go in.
Totally, the desire to win that ball, you know, get there, because I think even if he just glanced it, it would go in from the power from his run. It was just that desire and determination not to go through that hurt again. And I think, you know, Sunderland made this big thing about, you know, sports psychology and the big game atmospheres and all that. But when you've got players who have lost at Wembley before, albeit whatever level, they don't want to go through that again. They know what it's like.
Yeah.
You know.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with us here in the studio as well if you haven't done so already. Joel Upwood, he says, I spent the whole of the second half nervous. We deserved to win over 120 minutes. However, it was a day that will live long in the memory, spending it with family and friends, of course. They are flooding in this evening, as expected. And if you haven't got in touch, then what are you waiting for? Who was your Wembley man of the match yesterday? And with a crucial run into the League One campaign starting on Saturday, places in the starting 11 are becoming difficult to decide. But who do you believe has done enough to warrant a start this Saturday for the short trip to Wickham? We also want to know whether or not you believe the Blues can use this impressive run of good form to gather pace and actually reclaim a place back in the top two and automatic promotion, of course, to the Championship, the prize on offer. Text your message, start that with the word Express to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or tweet us at ExpressFM. Now, after the break, myself, Ryan and Jeff will be continuing to go over all of the talking points from Sunday's Checkatrade Trophy final win, as well as taking a moment to talk about the Pompey women and the Armed Forces Supporters Club as well. So stick around and keep it 93.7 as the Monday Football Hour enters its second half right after this short break.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Monday Football Hour here on the only radio station that remains passionately Pompey, Express FM, the home of the best Portsmouth Football Club radio shows, with full live match coverage of every Blues game, home and away on Pompey Live, and free servings of in-depth Pompey debate on the Football Hour every Monday, Thursday and Friday with either myself, Jake Smith, or James Robbins. Of course, we're sponsored this evening by Stagecoach Buses across the South Coast. Now, before we go any further with the talk about yesterday, let's recap the last few days for the Pompey women. And it wasn't just the men who picked up an important win this weekend, but the women did too. It was a professional performance too from the Pompey women yesterday. They ran out 2-0 winners at home to Loughborough, a Rachel Panting brace, including a coolly converted penalty in the space of 7 minutes in the first half at the PMC Stadium, sent the Blues on their way to an important National League win, a game which saw a first Pompey start for Caitlin Colligan. keeper Hannah Horton, who saved two Jess Lurie penalties and was therefore a hero in the women's 3-1 victory over Chichester last Wednesday, had another great game yesterday afternoon. She tweeted after the game, 3 points, a clean sheet, an assist, and a top corner free kick save. A perfect Sunday. The Blues have another important game this Wednesday coming, a cup final, in fact. It's another one of those teams from down the road. Southampton FC Women await at Testwood Stadium, the home of AFC Tottenham, for the Hampshire Cup final. Pompey have won each of the previous 10 Hampshire Cup titles, and I know one man who will be desperate for an 11th in a row. Football Hour legend and Pompey Women's chairman Eric Colborne, who will oversee his first ever Hampshire Cup final at the helm of the Pompey Women. So, if you're free on Wednesday evening, head over to AFC Tottenham, 7:45 kickoff for the Hampshire Cup final against the Southampton FC Women. See if Pompey can make it 11 in a row. So, the Pompey Women in action against Southampton FC Women on Wednesday evening at AFC Tottenham. If you're not doing anything on Wednesday evening, then head over there and see if Pompey can make it 11 in a row. What an achievement, Ryan. 10 Hampshire Cup titles in a row for the Pompey Women. That must be incredible. And we've mentioned over the last few weeks there are quite a few teams from down the road in the competition. I think Southampton Saints, Southampton FC Ladies, Southampton FC Women. There's loads of them. Even Eastleigh, Pompey has seen off three of those teams in the knockout stages so far. One more left. It'd be great to see if they can win that.
Oh, of course, yeah. A decade's worth of dominance in Hampshire. You know, our trophy cabinet's bigger. There's a reason we sing Pride of the South, and the South Coast is ours. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing if the women can rack it up to 11. I'm going to pop along Wednesday night, and hopefully, yeah, we can put another one in the cabinet to just keep on creating April memories.
And it's not just, you know, obviously the men that have got cup finals this year, Jeff, but the women too. And as Ryan mentioned, continuing their dominance in Hampshire, and it's great to see that, you know, the momentum, or, you know, the improvements on and off the pitch over the last couple of seasons are actually now starting to pick up for the women too, because it's great to see that kind of cohesion, you know, hashtag two teams, one club, actually breed into those as well. It's fantastic to see.
Yeah, it's brilliant, you know, and I'd like to see the club do what, you know, Man City are doing. You know, they're saying now two teams, one club. Well, when we do the kit photo shoots, get the ladies' team in there, the women's team in there, and do the same thing, same as the youth teams and everything else. And just a note on the teams down the road, if they combined all four teams together, then maybe they might give us a bit of a challenge. So, just a thought.
Actually, Jeff, while you're here, just going to ask you quickly, have you got an update on the Armed Forces Support? I know you were on the show a couple of Mondays with James Robbins, but for those who weren't listening, how's it going?
It's going really well. I think Spencer's, you know, giving me the radio stint because he says I've got a face for radio, but have you seen him on BBC South on Friday? You know, it's going great. We've got about 60 odd paid up members now. We've got about 110, 115 registered interest, and most of them are waiting for next season, and rightly so. You know, why pay for a membership when it's going to renew in June? So if you want to get in contact, find us on Twitter or Facebook, or send an email to pompeyafsc@gmail.com, and we'll get back to you with all the details and all the stuff we're planning to do next season.
Awesome. Let's get back to the Pompey men's chat now then, and a few text tweets and emails coming in as we expect. Andy Swatton says the match was like the weekend. Sunderland took over London on Saturday, but Pompey fans waited and we turned up en masse on Sunday. The second half took over and then took home the trophy, which of course the all-important aspect of that game. Chris Whittle says Clark was quality and Evans changed the game. And Paul on Twitter says my standout performer was Northern Blue Supporters Club legend Barry Thompson for his bizarre celebratory dancing at the final whistle. I thought Matt Clark and Christian Burgess were magnificent in central defence. So let's go back to that game and let's revisit to a goal. I think we all thought Pompey had won it at this point.
Knocking on the door, 6.5 minutes left of extra time, 1-1 still the score. Long ball for Jamal Lowe to chase. Lowe brings it down. Lowe could be in. Jamal Lowe over the goalkeeper into the back of the net. Jamal Lowe! 40,000 Pompey fans go wild. It looks like Jamal Lowe has won the Checkered Trade Trophy for Portsmouth.
brilliant, fantastic, nonchalant were the words that I think Niall McCorn said when we had won promotion at Notts County a few years ago. Sarah Powers also says, so difficult to single out anyone. I felt every single player played at a different level yesterday. What a team we all are to have played a part in such a magnificent day. And going back to that Jamal Lowe goal on Sunday, Ryan, like I said before, that I think we all thought we'd won it at that point.
You have to think so. You've got, what, 6 minutes left? Mm. We've gone from having 35% of the ball at the end of the first half to having over 62% of it at the end of 90 minutes, and then we've kicked on in extra time. And everything about that goal just developed in phases. It was, well, that was a nice little turn by Matt Clark.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice ball by Matt Clark. Oh, that's a good touch by Lowe. That's a nice turn by Lowe. And all of a sudden, we're all grabbing each other's shoulders going, he's going to do it! And it drops into the net. It just, you're waiting to see if it dips under the bar, and it does, and it's madness. And yeah, you're thinking we'd done it, but apparently we had to do things just a little bit harder.
Well, as you mentioned, we did have to make it hard for ourselves. The Pompey way, as I'm sure we all know, Sunderland equalising on the 119th minute, just a minute before the end of extra time. Here's how that went in.
Can he get the shot away? McGeady, a great chance! Clark, he can't keep it out! It's into the net! And Sunderland have equalised in the 119th minute! And it looks like we will head towards penalties here at Wembley.
Aidan McGeady then grabbing his second goal of the game at Wembley on Sunday, Jeff, and I think you've got to feel sorry for Matt Clark. He tried his very best to keep that out of the goal. I guess you could say it was sloppy in the end, but just unfortunate, really.
See, I got a different take on that. I don't think he was sloppy because he was in the right place. Mm. And to me, that just speaks volumes about the talent he's got. He was able to read the danger that was coming in. He was able to get behind, you know, the keeper. And whatever level of football you coach at, that's all what you always try and tell your defenders. If the keeper goes, someone's got to get behind to cover the line. And he was just unfortunate. You know, you can see his frustration. He was punching the ground afterwards. But he got in that position. So hats off to him. You know, I don't think it's sloppy. I think it's a great reading of the game. We were just unfortunate at that point.
Did you think at that point, Ryan, when Sunderland have equalised and we were heading to penalties, that actually that was it? Our luck perhaps had run out, because we were on such a high, as you mentioned, when we were 2-1 up, or even when we equalised and were dominating that second half and in extra time as well. But do you think that when they equalised, you thought, no, this is it now? You know, back to reality, we could lose this.
When it went in, I was obviously gutted for Clark, because he's nearly kept it out.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was it, however, because...
You still felt confident?
I still felt good about it. What annoyed me more was pre-game, I said it would be 1-1 heading into extra time, Sunderland would score first, and we'd win it 2-1 in extra time. Now, I didn't place a bet on this, but I'd have loved to have walked out of Wembley swaggering about saying I knew that would happen.
Well, do you know what? Alan Knight predicted a 1-0 after full-time and win on penalties, so he got it right for the third match in a row.
Yeah.
And I actually predicted 1-0 after full-time and winning extra time. I didn't say a specific score, but no, you're right. You know, so close.
So
to
annoyed
prediction.
About that. Yeah. But what I will say is,
why did we have to have that penalty shoot?
I know. Why the hard way? It's always the hard way with us. But what I will say is, I think you have to give some credit to Aidan McGeady here,
because
when that ball's getting sort of hoofed in and out of the box, you've got a lot of players who are let emotions take over in terms of they're begging the ball not to go in, or they're begging just to get it beyond the white line. Aidan McGeady, however, this is a guy who's played Champions League football, Premier League football. He's represented Ireland at major tournaments. He was the coolest head in the box, because he made that tiny little curling run just outside, takes it around Thompson. He's played 119 minutes at Wembley, and he's still got the composure to think, right, how can I, you know, make space here in a box which is, you know, so crowded? How can I get this beyond Thompson? Yeah, our players don't have that kind of experience yet. And now they do, because now they've won on a big stage. Yeah. So I'll give credit to McGeady, because he's clearly used everything he's got in his 12-year career or whatever to get that in. And
he's,
I think,
experienced.
And despite all of that, despite the Premier League experience Sunderland got, we still kept our cool in a shootout more than they did. And I think that's going to be such a huge moment for us.
Ryan, you mentioned there about doing it the hard way for Pompey. Porridge Furbo has got in touch. He says, actually, easy peasy. The 11-year unbeaten streak against the Mackens continues. He's referring there to the last time that Sunderland actually did beat Pompey. It was in January 2008, a 2-0 win in the Premier League. Now, we're just approaching the third and final ad break of the show this evening. It's just coming up to 7:15. If you haven't got in touch already, 81400 is the number to text. Start with the word Express, followed by your name and message. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or tweet us at ExpressFM. After the break, we'll be going on to the penalty shootout and continuing to review yesterday's dramatic win in the Checkatrade Trophy final against Sunderland. So don't go far, because the Football Hour reaches its conclusion right here, next on ExpressFM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very warm welcome back to the Monday Football Hour here on Express FM, driven to you as usual safely by Stagecoach buses. Now, before we break, throughout the entire show, we've been going over Sunday's win against Sunderland in the Checkatrade Trophy final, and we've won it. We are the Checkatrade Trophy champions after a win on penalties at the Wembley Stadium. And we're actually at the penalty shootout part of the show now, Ryan, and five successful penalty or spot kicks from Pompey, five brilliantly taken spot kicks as well. But we're just going to go back to the Craig McGilvery save. What a save that was to deny Lee Cattermole.
It was, and it was one I was relieved to see him make, because I've noticed in quite a few penalties he's faced throughout the season, he has a tendency to begin his dive and his lean before the spot kick's taken, and it can kind of tip the taker off as to where he's going. And I think that actually happened for Sunderland's
fourth or fifth,
yeah, where he just sort of stutters, Craig leans and he literally passes it into the net, and Craig goes, no.
Yeah.
But for that one, it's against Cattermole, again, another guy with a lot of experience in pressure situations, and he waits and he waits and he waits, and he just plucks it off to the left-hand side, and that's when you think penalties are in front of the fraternity end, if you will. Yeah. He saves one, and that, yeah, you think you're on your way at that point.
And then at the end, of course, the winning penalty, none other than Ollie Hawkins.
Ollie Hawkins is the man with the penalty and the chance to win it. He steps up, back, he'll hit it right-footed, and he'll score! And Portsmouth have won the EFL Trophy! They win it 5-4 on penalties!
Jeff, a great penalty again, and great character as well for Ollie Hawkins. A big moment for him and for everyone, really, taking the penalties, but he had to keep his cool, and keep his cool he did.
Definitely, you know, I don't know where my heart was at that moment, but when I saw him walking up, and I was like, you know, just hit the target. All you got to do is hit the target, because if it wasn't on target, I would hate to think what would happen, you know. But when I got home last night, I went straight to the penalty shootout because I wanted to watch it again. But you see that determination in his face. And, you know, he was fully in the zone. You know, he knew where he was going to put it. And I think that little jinky run he done,
he went to the right, to the left, yeah.
And you know, and the keeper was very mobile on his line in all the penalties, and I just think that little sidestep put the keeper off. He was like, where's he going next? And all of a sudden he just went into a small sprint, and he hit it, you know.
Do you think, Ryan, that Pompey had more of confidence going into that penalty shootout, having, you know, played the, you know, second half of that game in extra time as really the better team than Sunderland? And Sunderland, I guess, chasing the game. Do you think Pompey had the confidence going into penalty shootout thinking, okay, we deserve to win this now?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Sunderland controlled 45 minutes of the game. Mm. We controlled 75. No matter what that late goal, you know, just about getting over the line does, we still ended that game. We had that one extra chance where Hawkins drops it down to low. And I think if that's 5 minutes into the game rather than 5 seconds to go, Lowe probably buries it. So, you know, even in the 190th minute, we still had a chance to win it. So, yeah, we go into those penalties. And to your point, Jeff, every player who stepped forward for Pompey, they looked straightforward. It was almost, I don't know if anyone's seen the clip of Neil Warnock staring at the officials after the Cardiff game yesterday. Just stone cold focus, and it was almost intimidating.
Yeah.
Whereas the Sunderland players, they were looking to the left, right, looking at the ground, and you just didn't doubt any of our players were going to bury it.
There's a siren somewhere. I didn't think.
Yeah. And next up, you know, MOP. Yeah, yeah.
I think also the Sunderland skipper made a mistake.
Yeah,
he's won the toss.
Yeah.
For me, if you win the toss, I put the opposite team in first, and you get that team scoring against your own fans.
Yeah, yeah.
So your fans can intimidate the players. And I think, for whatever reason, he wanted to go first. he made the wrong decision, and hindsight's one of the things we can say that, but I truly believe at that moment he made the wrong decision.
Yeah,
I'd agree, yeah.
Harv Marks on Twitter, he says, 1-3 on the spin in the league and just won a trophy at Wembley Stadium against a promotion rival. Confidence should be flowing. If we can keep the run going, who knows what can happen. We've seen stranger things happen. I also think it was Lee Brown's best game in a Pompey shirt yesterday. Ryan, he mentioned Lee Brown. I think he had another fantastic game. And someone who has tasted victory at Wembley before. So it's key as well to have those... Not just with players like Jamal Lowe, like Brandon Curtis, you know, they've got the stories of, you know, becoming a youngster and having that day at Wembley, but also the experienced members of the squad to actually see us over the line. Lee Brown, well, even Nathan Thompson, Brett Pittman as well.
Of course, yeah, the blend of experience and youth which Jacket has tried to bring into this team, it's occasions like this where if you can marry the both perfectly, you do see players just bringing out qualities in each other. And Lee Brown is a guy that just has experience and in spades, playing on the small stages, playing on the big stages. And the second half, there must have been some very good discussions at halftime, yeah, because it was just like a switch had been flicked. And yeah, Brown, and I especially think Nathan Thompson, who had been tortured in the first half, some of the challenges he made second half, the determination for the equaliser, so many players that had played football for a long time or players who hadn't played football for a long time at all, everyone just stepped up as a unit. And Sunderland were a bit part for the next 75 minutes. You know, they were almost spectators to the game.
You can tell the team were up for it when Brett Pittman outsprints Jamal Lowe.
Yeah, of course.
You know, everyone's going, Lowe's going to get this, he's going to square it back to Pittman. Hold on a minute, Pittman's just beating the left back and Lowe. You know, but I think whatever was said at half time, it worked because we had overlaps on overlaps, and that's something we didn't have in the first half. Yeah. I mean, going down the left hand side, you had Brown overlapping Evans, then you had Clark overlapping Brown and Evans, you know, and then Clark passes it to... It was just, you know, it was pressure after pressure after pressure.
It meant a lot to the players, and I think they all wanted to win that. And before we go, do you want to hear my reaction after the full-time whistle?
I need one word to describe that. Wow, what a game.
One word to describe that.
Four words.
Wow, what a game.
What, are you in shock?
Emotion's clearly taken over there. A great tweet from Pompey Pedro says, a list of things that Jamal Lowe believes in. His soul, the power to know, and being indestructible. A fantastic tweet and a fantastic song, Spandau Ballet, in the version of Jamal Lowe. We've got a quick email as well from someone. No, we don't. We have got a text from John in Gosport. We thought we needed a string pulling midfielder for ages. In fact, when Brett was struggling to get a game as a striker, we did fantasise about putting him back a bit just to do that job. So my first name on the team sheet Saturday would be him, Brett Pittman. Chris Italy, back from Wembley. Hi, Jake and team. We're back with no voices left and recovering from last night. Remember I kept harping on about the man that was never beyond the back stick, and there he was, Thompson, sweet, sweet. Time management the first half, we were awful, and we never do fall on two halves. In extra time, Kenny made a smart move. First half slow, and then second half full on. Really good energy management. All told, a fine weekend. Back to the old country. We'll be back for the playoff final against Sunderland. We hope not. We hope it won't be a playoff final against Sunderland, but it may well be. And a final tweet from Luke Ellis. Although the whole team played well yesterday, we thought Brown and Burgess were immense, particularly in the first half when we were under a lot of pressure. Evans and Hawkins, fantastic when they came on. Sunderland defenders really don't like Hawkins. Cannot handle him. Right, looking ahead quickly to Saturday. Wickham away, Jeff. A score prediction?
2-0.
2-0, Pompey?
Yeah.
I hope. Ryan, prediction Saturday, Wickham away. Not going to be an easy game.
2-1, Pompey.
2-1, Pompey. Any goal scorer for that?
I would actually put Pittman down as a goal.
Yep.
And I will say the other one will go to the Hawk.
Pittman and the Hawk. Okay, those are their score predictions. Ryan Stillwell, thank you for coming in again. Jeff Harris, it's been a pleasure having you on too. My prediction for Saturday, I'm going to go for a 2-0 Pompey win against Wickham. I think we're going to get another win. I think so. And that just about rounds off proceedings here on the Monday Football Hour on Express FM. A huge thank you this evening to my two brilliant guests, Ryan Stillwell and Jeff Harris. It's flown by, but it's been a great show on a very special occasion too. And I can't leave the building without sending my thanks to you at home, the listeners, for playing your part in helping make this show happen tonight. It's been great to read through all of your messages and memories from yesterday's win at Wembley. The football may be coming to an end for the day, but the fun doesn't stop, though. Liz Beckett is here next on Express FM as The Shout returns for another hour of the best new local music from up-and-coming musicians around our community. Then, the Soft Rock Show with Jeff Dawson. Adrian Collis is back from 8pm. They are joined tonight by the Stay Awakes for a live session. And Paul from the Rolling Stones will be having a chat with the guys on the phone. That is set to be an unmissable 2 hours of radio here on Express FM. Henry Deacon returns on Wednesday for Over the White Line. Part-timer James Robbins is back from 6 on Thursday with hopefully a jubilant blues player on the Football Hour. And I return on Friday for the Friday Football Hour this Friday from 6pm. I'll be joined by commentator Frankie Rudland from the Pompey Audio Description Service and Pompey superfan Johnny Westwood also joins me in the studio to look ahead to the next fixture. Then Pompey Live returns this weekend and it's back to League One action. Can the Blues make it 3 league wins on the bounce against Wickham? Find out from 2pm on Saturday. I hope you've enjoyed the show this evening. Have a great week and play up Pompey.